What we spoke about last week, we called it courage to climb your hill, and the concept of Jesus having to go up the hill of Calvary. And we looked at the idea of what if he decided to not do that, what if he decided to pray and let that hill called Calvary just be removed. And we looked at the consequences of, instead of praying for the storms to stop in our lives, rather seeking God in the midst of the storm and finding out aspects and personality of God that we otherwise wouldn't see. And in keeping with that this morning, we ended off saying that there's a particular kind of suffering that people would have to go through if we are to be mature representatives of the kingdom of God. And I ended off saying, well, this week you can look forward to us speaking about suffering and all of this talk about suffering. It's not really something that you look forward to, is it? How many of you come to church and look forward to get a message about suffering? It's not really something. You go to church, you gaan kerk toe om gestig te word en gevoed te word and to be edified and uplifted up. The last thing you want is for the preacher to tell you, come back next week and we can continue on this trend of suffering. So that's why the church is empty today. The people decided to stay away. Let's give no, we're not this for the soul suffering thing. But I want to speak about that and ask some questions about what kind of suffering do you think we need to face as Christians? Because surely, after all, didn't Jesus do all of the suffering for us on the cross? Didn't he do that? I mean, he paid the price for all of our issues, isn't it? He has already done the suffering. What kind of suffering do we need to go through as Christians? If he paid the price for us all and he suffered for mankind, why is there this concept of Christians having to suffer? And to illustrate it this morning, I'd like to share something with you. In modern-day production of stuff, there's often something that's known as a factory recall. Can you relate to what I'm saying? Ruan, stem your song with me. For those of us that ride motorcycles, we can relate to that. A new model comes out, and soon, there's a factory recall. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I was growing up, I don't really remember things like that. I don't really remember having things to have to be returned back to the company or the manufacturer because there's something wrong with it. I could be wrong, but I kind of think that many years ago, things in general, there was a better quality control process. I think today things are made just to be used, and when they're broken, just get thrown away and you just go and buy another one. I think in general, things in the past were made to last and last and last and last and last. And today, it's not really like that. When it comes to motorcycles, I remember the particular brand of motorcycle that I've been riding for several years is BMW, just because it's one of the options that are there, not for any other reason. But there was a recall with my first liquid cooled where there's a system inside the engine called the shaft inside a shaft. And what happened was that thing would move in a certain way because it's a shaft in a shaft and it had all sorts of benefits. And that would rub up against the underside of the timing chain in the engine. And you'd be riding along and the timing chain would just break. And that happened to me. After 32,000 Ks on the bike, I was riding on the freeway, and then there was just no power. And I just pulled in the clutch, and I phoned BMW on call, and they came and collected me, and they opened up the motor, and they realized that, yes, this is one of those issues. Now, what was interesting, though, is before these motorcycles were launched, it was told that they'd done 1,000,000 kilometers of development. 1,000,000 kilometers of development and testing to get this motorcycle to work. And this development of this particular style or concept of engine had taken place over 6 years prior to its launch. And my particular motorcycle packed up and they sent it overseas in what's known as a Puma case. They realized that it is a factory default. So what they've done is they replaced the entire motor brand new and the gearbox brand new and the whole drive shaft to the back all brand new, and it comes in from overseas with the serial number, the engine number already on the engine, so you don't have to re-register a new engine. And I thought to myself, I remember thinking about, oh, this is cool, we got this bike and it's so great and all this research and development has been done, 1,000,000 kilometers of development, and yet there was still a factory recall. There was something wrong with it. And many years ago, I think it was when the Rory Bell, to help me with this, the Kawasaki ZX-12s came out. There was a time when a certain run of those motorcycles off the production line, the little window where you see the level of the oil was mounted too high in the casing. So as a result, the guys were overfilling the engines. And because of too much oil, it was causing problems on the inside of the engine. And they had to have a factory recall. And the recall required that the engine cover would be redesigned so that little window where you see the level of the oil had to be moved. And so I can give you incident after incident. I'm a firearms enthusiast, and there's been factory recalls where the firearms go to the public and there's a problem with them. One particular one was the Sig Sauer, where when the sun was a certain position in the sky and the earth was at a certain angle, and if it was dropped at a certain angle, a shot would go off. And there was a whole worldwide recall on these things, and they made aftermarket parts to fit and fix the problem. But the point I'm trying to make this morning is that sometimes in research and development, there's shortfalls. A product is launched and released to the public before the product is fully tested and developed. And I think maybe why manufacturers do it today is because, do you think there's a faster way of testing and developing something under a variety of circumstances when millions, maybe billions of people are using a product all out there in the world under different circumstances? Do you think you can get as quick results as when you, with a few factory workers, test and develop something in a laboratory, test after test after test? I don't think so. I think maybe today manufacturers of whatever decide they're going to release a product and send it out there and have a few disgruntled customers that will complain about something. And then we'll show what good after-sales care and service we have by providing a factory recall to the customers and telling them, it's all at our expense, we'll take it and we'll fix it for you and we'll give you this new that. I don't know what the reasons are. But the point is, products get released into society when there's been insufficient research and development and product development to actually make sure that it does what it's intended to do. And Colossians 1:24 speaks about Paul writes to the church and he says, I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I'm participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. What kind of a person says that? I'm glad when I suffer for you. What kind of sufferings is it that we need to face as Christians? I submit to you that the kind of sufferings that we need to face as Christians, for want of a better word, now, please don't get me wrong, you're not a product. You're not a scientific experiment that God is working on. But for the illustration purposes this morning, I submit to you that the sufferings that Christians have to go to and have to go through and come to in their lives is to ensure that we properly developed to be able to face the kingdom of darkness successfully. Because if we go out into the world and we're not properly tried and tested and proven and developed through trials and tribulations and difficulties, when the pawpaw hits the fan, when life happens, there's going to be shortcomings and shortfalls in our lives that are suddenly going to become evident. So if we ask ourselves the question, why is it as Christians that we have to go through difficulties? Jesus has done this wonderful work of the cross and he's done all our suffering for us. We're going to look a little bit later at several scriptures that will give you something to look forward to as a Christian. Say, so why do we have to go through these things? Mozzie, I'm believing, I'm praying, and I'm trusting God, and I'm not doing anything wrong. Why is the devil still coming for me, attack after attack after attack? Why does it seem that my prayers aren't being answered? Why does it seem that I'm going through all these difficulties? I submit to you, there's a possibility that these things might be instrumental in the hands of God to develop us as if we are a product that's being developed. So that's once the original designer of the product has a certain specific goal in mind when he releases a product into the market. The product has a certain purpose that it has to achieve in the marketplace, in the hands of consumers. God has a certain purpose and a plan for each and every single one of us. His plan and His purpose is for us to be like His Son Jesus was when He walked on this earth. That's it. That's His plan and His purpose. You think to yourself, but how's that even possible? I mean, He's God. He's the Son of God. He had an unfair advantage. No, He became man just like us. Faced all the issues that we face. Took on an earth suit like us that's also subjected to all sorts of things like us. So that we can see a prime example and the first example of what it would be like for a human being to have God living on the inside. We know that when Jesus died and He went back to heaven, He didn't go back to heaven the same way. He was different. He was God and a man in whom God dwells, so that we can become people in whom God dwells. And Jesus had to face certain stuff here on earth. And by His grace, He's given us His Holy Spirit, who also enables us to face the things that we need to face here on earth. The sufferings that Christians have to endure is to ensure that we're ready to function as God originally intended us to. In James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." I so wish that this wasn't in the Bible. When troubles come your way, consider it a great opportunity for joy. So when something bad happens, yay! I'm so glad things are going wrong in my life. I'm going to put on some praise and worship and I'm going to celebrate in my war room or your prayer room or the plek waar jy jou stilte tyd gaan hou. How many of you do that? Yes, things are going so difficult for me. I'm going to phone a couple of friends and we're going to have a celebratory bra to celebrate that we're going through tough times. How many of us do that? We don't do that. Why don't we do that? I mean, yeah, the scripture is clear. When troubles come, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Yes. So when we go in our prayer time, we say, "Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You that I'm alive. But God, it's going too good. Things are too lacquer for me. Lord, send trouble across my way so that I can have something else to celebrate. Let bad things happen to me when I least expect it, Lord, because I'm tired of all this plain sailing and this easy, comfortable life where things are just, I'm tired of all that. Lord, I want some troubles to come." We don't do that. But yet the scripture says when these things happen, dit moet ons houding wees. Hoe kom ons op die plek in ons levens? Waar wanneer die pop op die venster, kan ons dan jubel en juig. Hoe kom ons daar uit? How do we get like that? Do you think God would include something in the scripture that's impossible for us to do? You see, folks, if you look carefully at the wording of this, it's not actually a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. When troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. You must consider it like that. It's not saying, I suggest that maybe, if it's okay, you should have a mind change and think about it differently. It says, no, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Now, I submit to you that in the development of that BMW engine, that the first liquid cools that came out, they'd done a certain amount of research and development, but they didn't realize that the timing chain would come too close to that shaft within a shaft. And it would wear and tear to the point where the timing chain would break. It was unable to endure. It was unable to withstand the friction and the damage that would be caused to it. And therefore, it just broke. How many Christians are doing life today, and when the pressure's on, we just break and we crack. And we want to throw in the towel and give up. En dan wat se lied kom by ons monde uit? Oh Lord, why? Why is this happening to me? What's going on, Lord? Why is this happening to me? Let us consider it an opportunity for our faith and our resilience to grow and to be developed. And says, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, You will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. There's that word perfect again. We spoke about it last week. This doesn't mean the perfect like the world knows. That means you never ever make a mistake ever. That does not mean that. It's the same word in Matthew 5:48 where Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It means complete in Him, lacking nothing in Him, because He's your source. And you realize He provides. That's what it means. So when these troubles come, let us consider an opportunity for great joy. Because when our faith is tested and our endurance has a chance to grow, we will grow. And when our endurance is fully developed, we will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So great joy. We don't get excited when these things happen. We act very differently. These troubles are the very things that will ensure we'll be ready and equipped to face the kingdom of darkness. It speaks about endurance being fully developed. This is a process and it comes over time. It comes over time. It doesn't just give your heart to Jesus and get filled with the Spirit and then suddenly jy gaan ten volle toegerus wees om alles te kan face wat daar buite is in die wêreld. No, it's a process. It is a process. The scripture speaks about us going from glory to glory and growing in faith and growing in grace. I wish it was instant microwave faith. Instant. It isn't. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a process. It is a process. It takes time. Somebody once used this illustration of a long, 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 long piece of rope. You can't see the end of it. And we're standing and we're holding this end of the rope. And we think that what happens at this end of the rope is the end all and be all of our lives. Whereas what's happening to us here is just the beginning. And the rest of whatever is in store for us is the rest of that rope. It's not like that. We spend so much time focusing on what happens in the here and now that we sometimes lose sight of the fact that this is just the end or the starting point, for want of a better word, of something that's much longer, something that we still got to go through. Here are some scriptures that will help us to understand the kind of suffering, or I've chosen these words, instead of calling it suffering, rather product development, where God wants you to develop so that you're ready to face the music of real life. Colossians 1:24 says, I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body. This is the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church to the Colossians. Not the name of the places, but they're Colossians. He says, for I'm participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. What's he saying? Paul went through some stuff for the sake of getting God's message, Jesus' life and love, across to the people. For us as Christians, if you're committed to follow Jesus, you're going to have to go through stuff, ladies and gentlemen. If you're committed to take the love that you have for Jesus and His message and how He's changed you, if you're committed to telling that to others, stuff is going to happen to you. Come to terms with that. And Paul came to terms with that. He says, the sufferings that I'm going through for the sake of His body, I'm willing to do that. Romans 8:18, it says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that He will reveal to us later. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's kind of like the written guarantee that we're going to go through some difficulties. We will suffer persecution. I can see how excited you all are this morning. I warned you last week that that's what you're going to get this week. This is the kind of truth that we need to remind ourselves of from time to time. So that when it does happen, we're not wondering why. This is the reason. God wants fully developed, mature representatives of the kingdom of God. That's what He's looking for. And if we haven't signed up for that, well, we need to come to terms with that. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and everyone who wants to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 1 Peter 4 and verse 1. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude He had and be ready to suffer too. Okay, this is too much suffering. For if you've suffered physically for Christ, you're finished with sin. There's more suffering scriptures. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. I love this because it describes us so much. But why, Lord? What am I doing wrong? You're not doing anything wrong. You've just decided to say, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. You're not doing anything wrong. It says as if some strange things were happening to you. How many of you have wondered, why is this happening to me? I'm doing everything right. I can't understand this, Lord. Why am I not experiencing breakthrough in my health? Why am I not experiencing breakthrough in my finances? Why is this happening, Lord? We so easily forget the scriptures that say, the faith that we have must be tested. It must be tested and proven to be true and steadfast and worthy of keeping. It can only come through these trials and tribulations. There is no other alternative to it. Folks, if you have, all right, let's say a normal dinner table fork. How can you test that fork in any other place other than eating with it? You can go dig in the garden with it. You can stab somebody with it. You could do that. I praise God for my wife. I love the way she thinks. Stab him with it in the fork. Feel the love here. What did you say, Louis? Now Louis knows why I suffer. But the product is designed with a particular purpose in mind. It needs to be tested in the area or the field where it was designed, created to be used. And if God wants us to be like Jesus in the world, where is our faith going to be tested? In places where it's needed. If you receive the joy of the Lord, where is your joy going to be put to the test? In places where there's no joy, where there's despair and despondency. If you've received heaven's hope into your heart, where's your hope going to be tested? In places where there's hopelessness. If you have abundance in your life, where's your abundance going to be put to the test? In places where there's lack. That's where it's going to be tested. That means all the goodness of heaven that God deposits into the heart of a man, a woman, or child that says, yes, here I am, Lord. We're going to have to take that, go into the real world, and have that stuff put to the test time and time and time again, and longer than Charles Gloss. Castle Lager stood the test of time. Well, I want to submit to you that once the glass of Castle Lager is finished, and now time is passing, you're going to have your glass filled with something that can endure beyond that. And these things that we go through, ladies and gentlemen, these things called troubles and the very tools that God allows in our lives for us to be fully developed, be people that can make a difference in the lives of others. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 9. It says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. Everybody say, like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah lives in us. Hallelujah. Revelations 5 and verse 5. He walks around like a roaring lion. He's a copycat. No pun intended. He pretends to be something that he's not. He tries to instill you with fear. And fear is an acronym for false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. He gives you false evidence and tries to make it appear like it's the real thing. And that's when our faith, which is also an acronym, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust Him. Let your faith come into contact with that fear. There comes a time where the lie of the enemy needs to face the reality of your God. The lying enemy will need to face the reality of your God. And when he does, that's when your faith will be found to be proven true and reliable and of value and of worth. So I wonder, how are you doing in terms of the product development that God is subjecting you to lately? Maybe you're at the place where everything's good and it's plain sailing and it's wonderful. You really cannot think of one single trouble that you have. And that's fantastic. My brother, my sister, stick around. Stick around. Now, you know, there's one of two ways that we can look at this. You can just look at it a message of doom and gloom and, oh, is it the moeilikhede op moeilikhede op moeilikhede. But or you can say, Lord, I'm willing to subject myself to this process. I'm willing to let, why? Because you see, folks, God always has been and He always will be more concerned about our character and our nature being more like Jesus than He is about our physical comfort. You see, the things that God entrusts us with and bestows us with and His blessings, it's not about our physical comfort. It's about us allowing the nature and the character of Jesus in us to develop and to develop and to develop and to develop. He's more concerned about our character and the nature of Jesus in us than He is about our physical comfort. The enemy walks around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. That's kind of encouraging, isn't it? Yes, nie alleen in hierdie ding nie. Your Christian brothers and sisters throughout the world are going through the same kind of suffering that you are. I submit to you folks, as us here, as Christians in South Africa, we've got it quite easy. We've got it easy. Some of you are looking like, yes, Mozzie, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't know where you get that from. Well, you see, here's the deal. I think people, we always tend to compare ourselves to those that have more than us than those that have less than us. Why are we comparing ourselves to each other in the first place? It's not wise to do that. But we look at the lives of those that have more than us and we think, oh, woe is me. Folks, there's Christians that face such huge persecution the world over. It's stuff that will make most of us tremble in our boots. Stuff that Christians are going through, it's just absolutely incredible in the rest of the world. Knowing that your brothers and sisters in the world are going through the same kind of suffering that you are. Excuse me. God's end goal is that the love of His Son Jesus is fully developed in us. The stuff about product development and all of this testing, what's it all for? God's goal and end purpose for us is that the love of His Son Jesus is in us and that we walk in His love. That we walk in His love. Our walk is not just about believing in Jesus. And if we follow Jesus, what is the purpose of following Jesus? Is it just so that we have some fire insurance? We have an insurance policy to ensure that we don't end up in hell one day. Is that the purpose of following Jesus? It's more than that. It's more than that. The death and resurrection of Jesus and our faith in Him is more than just being saved from hell. Because once everything's said and done and the fat lady and her sister have sunk, it's all said and done. And we're in heaven, which is going to be here on this earth. A new earth, a new heaven is going to be here. Once it's here and God has established His throne in the new city of Jerusalem and it's there, then what? Then what? What happens afterwards? There's a bigger purpose for the love of God being in our hearts. God's purpose through all of this stuff is not so that we can overcome stuff here and be victorious here and defeat the works of the devil here. Yes, that is true, but there's a bigger purpose. God's ultimate purpose always has been and always will be for us not only to live like Jesus, but to love like Jesus. To love like Jesus. Have you considered the fact that when God created us in His image, it's not just for us to look like Him, but He is love. He's created us to be at the place where we love like He loves. To love like He loves. Now here's the deal. In this process and this growth path of love that we go through, I believe it needs to start with us learning to love ourselves. It's not selfish. It's not a prideful thing. We need to learn to love ourselves. Love who God has made you to be. Don't love yourself to the point where you become filled with ungodly pride. I mean, you just love yourself and nobody else. But learn to love and accept who God has made you to be. And then develop the skills and the talents and the gifts that He's placed you in you. Develop them and take them to a level of an ever-increasing level of excellence all the time. But start with loving yourself. Come to terms with who you are in Christ Jesus. That you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And He's chosen to let you be alive in this day, in this age, in this place, in this country, under this government. Come to terms with loving yourself. And then loving your family, your immediate family. That's a challenge, isn't it? Somebody once said that Christianity is most difficult at home. Most difficult at home. When the people get to see how you really, really are when you're at your worst. Most of us, we see each other on a Sunday when we've got our church faces on and ons kerkkleertjies and it's hallelujah, praise die Here, glory to God, happy clappy Jesus songs. Most of us, we see each other in generally when we're at our best. Most of us, what we see here is what people tend to put on Facebook. Generally, it's just the best. It's the highlights on Pictory or on Pictory and Instagram. Like they take like 50 minutes taking different shots and different poses, making sure the hair and the makeup, everything's right. They take a picture, a selfie, and they say, "I've just rolled out of bed." You haven't, man. You've like tried to get the best picture you possibly can. You haven't just rolled out of bed. And we tend to want to put just like the, what we see is just like the Facebook best. Love. Love is what we show how we really are when we're at our worst at home. Loving family. And then your immediate family. And then loving the church family. Loving your extended family. Your booties and sissies in Jesus. How many of you know that's a challenge in itself? I remember, who was it? Somebody, they started. It's Alfie and Chantal. Precious people that have now moved to KZN and are serving in Bikers Church down there in CMA. And they started fellowshipping in here at Bikers Church. And they heard me say, all you need to do to get offended is to keep coming to church. Just keep coming to church. Somewhere along the line, some Christian is going to offend you. And they said, there was a time when they were coming here. And at that time, they thought that everybody loved everybody at church. And then something happened and they realized that not everybody loves everybody at church. That's life, people. Even some of you are looking at that, sure, gaan maar rof in hierdie kerk. Well, here's the deal. In your search for a perfect church, when you find that church, please don't go there. Because as soon as you arrive, it's no longer perfect. Because you've just rocked up. You see, even Jesus' church, He had 12 families represented in His church, the 12 disciples. Even they started bickering and fighting with each other, and He's God. He's God. He didn't try and fix it. He let it happen because that's life. That's life. That's people in whom God lives. When they do life together. So He has this love thing. Love yourself. Love your family. Love your Christian family. The family of your immediate household, then your Christian family. And then, ladies and gentlemen, when we get that right, I mean when we get it really right, when that product has been developed and tested and proven and tried again and again, then we've got something to export. I want you, all of you, depending on where you sit seated, either look to your right and look to your left. There's the door that you came in. And above, don't worry, I'm not going to chase you out. It says, be the change you want to see. Then, when we go out there into the real world and try and tell others about this God who sent this His Son Jesus, who died and rose again because He loves us, then when we tell other people about it, what they see will be the genuine thing. It will be real. It will be tried and proven and tested, and it won't break and crack and pack up under pressure out there and frommel op. That's the process. God's ultimate goal for us is not just to have an eternity in heaven. Yes, that will happen if you're saved by the grace of God. That will happen. But the ultimate goal is for us to love like He loves. That's what Christianity is about. For us to grow to the point where we love like Jesus. Because there is nothing more transformational, nothing more powerful, nothing more significant in all of existence like the unconditional love of God. There is nothing like that. Nothing like that. Nothing. And that's what God wants for us. As I start to close this message, this is God's end goal. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. I'm going to break that down a little bit. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 7. It says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Now there's a progression there. The Word of God is always apostolic in its nature. That means that it needs to restore and brings things in order, and it's written to us and given to us from a heavenly perspective with a specific purpose in mind. It starts off foundational, and it's meant to build and be built upon. So it says this. There's a steady progression of Christian development in this passage of Scripture. A steady progression of Christian development. First of all, faith. We've got to believe that what we're talking about is a real thing. Folks, we have to believe that this hope that we have, Christ, the hope of all glory, Christ in us, the hope of all glory. It's Colossians 1:27. Christ in us, the hope of all glory. We have to believe that that is the very hope that this nation needs. As you sit here this morning, do you really believe that for yourself? Or is that hope been so battered and bruised and knocked around that you're starting to wonder? We have to believe it for ourselves, first of all. We have to believe that this message is the very thing that's going to change this nation. We have to believe it for ourselves. It starts off with faith. And then faith, moral excellence. There's this saying that I have, perfection is my goal. Excellence will be tolerated. Strive for excellence in everything we do. We need to start asking ourselves, in everything we do, how can I do this better? Not to perform for anybody, but to live at a level of excellence that brings God glory in all that we do. And then the moral excellence, knowledge. We need knowledge. Knowledge of how to do stuff. Knowledge of how to be relevant and real out there in the world. And in the workplace, to be knowledge of how to do things. Knowledge speaks, wisdom listens. Knowledge speaks, wisdom listens. The scripture also goes to say that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And to this knowledge, self-control. Self-control, that speaks about having discipline. And then patient endurance. How long, Lord? How long, Lord? How much more? How much more, Lord? When's it going to end, Lord? When am I going to get the breakthrough, Lord? When are things going to change, Lord? Patient endurance. How many of you would like to know how long your suffering will last? Some of you, good. I'm going to tell you. It's going to last until it ends. There's the answer. That's deep, eh? It's going to last. Folks, I don't know. I don't know. But that's why faith comes into it. Because if you're going through a difficult time, if you don't believe that your Heavenly Father loves you and that He always has your best interests at heart. Jy gaan begin wonder. Jy gaan begin twyfel. You're going to start, the lie of the enemy will get louder and louder and louder. You'll start to believe it more and more and more. If you don't first believe that God is first a father that loves you endlessly and unconditionally, it's got to start there. Your suffering's going to last until it ends. I don't know how long it is. But when you're going through these things, you must have already made up in your mind, God, you love me. That's it. Patient endurance, then godliness, then brotherly affection, and then the ultimate goal, love for everyone. That's how that scripture ends. And I'm going to read it one more time, and then I'm done. As the deep end comes up. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. And self-control with patient endurance. Patient endurance with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. So as we hear this morning, maybe you're going through a process of product development. Maybe it's time for us to respond to a factory recall. You see, when those motorcycles had those issues, there were emails sent out and the dealerships would send their customers a recall notice saying, you're an owner of whatever, and it's time for you to bring that product back in. We'd like to replace it with a better part, an upgraded part that will be able to endure the test of time. So maybe it's time for you to come back to the original manufacturer. And maybe he needs to replace a part in your thought process. Maybe he needs to give you a change of heart. We say this morning, Lord, this whole suffering thing, I look at it in a new light, different perspective today. Maybe you've been praying for the storm to end in your life, and that's what we spoke about last week. And I believe we should be praying for the storms to end in our lives. We should be praying that we get to recognize the voice of Jesus in the midst of the storm, so that we can walk on the water to Him as He calls us out to live and do things that we would never have dreamed possible before. And the trials and tribulations that we go through as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, the sufferings that we go through as Christians, I firmly believe in my heart of hearts, it's product development. It's the things that we need to go through to allow God to develop and to test our faith. So where you're seated there this morning, my encouragement to you is to get to a place in your life where you commit to this process and say, God, I want to grow, I want to learn, and I want to develop. And I want this love to grow in my heart, first of all, for myself, who I am in Christ Jesus, and then for my family. And then for my Christian family, my church friends and brothers and sisters. And then, Lord, I want to live in such a way that I can learn to love people outside there. That's what a desperate dying world needs, is when they see representatives of the kingdom of God, people that call themselves Christians, demonstrating and showing a real kind of love. A real kind of love that is patient, that cares, that endures, and that does something about it. So I don't know where you are at in your walk with God this morning, but as we pray together, as we bow our heads in prayer, right there where you're seated, maybe you're not even sure that God loves you. I want to encourage you this morning. He loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die for you. He demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus gave His life up for us. And if you're feeling that God doesn't love you because of stuff that you've done in the past, I want to tell you that's a lie from the devil. God knew you were going to do what you did wrong before you even did it, and he still sent Jesus to die in our place. I want to encourage you with that this morning. Maybe you're at a place where you're battling to love family members. It's difficult. You wish they weren't even your family for whatever reasons. I pray that you allow God by His grace to impart something special into your life and into your heart to help you to love them. Doesn't mean that you like them. There's a difference between liking someone and just loving them. Loving them means you want God's best for their lives. Maybe you're at that place this morning where You're having difficulty just loving family. Would you ask God to help you in that area? Maybe in the next category where Christians the whole concept of church has just let you down so much that you stay away from church. You want as little as possible to do with church because of how people in church have let you down. Would you just lift that up to the Lord this morning and ask that God just do a change in your heart and in your mind? And think of the possibility that maybe you yourself have let others down as well, at least once, sometime in your life. And the same grace and forgiveness that you have wanted others to extend to you, would you allow God to enable you to extend that grace and forgiveness to other people this morning? And then the big challenge where we say, Lord, we don't understand how and why you love like this, Lord, and we realize that without you, we cannot do it. Let's ask God to enable you to love others like he does. And remember that it's a process. We're growing in this thing all the time. But we make a decision this morning to commit to this, Lord. We want you, Lord, to develop us and to grow us, Lord God. And when trials and troubles come, may we be in a place where the first thing we do when trouble happens, we'll remember this. We'll remember this, Lord, that these things can test us, can develop us, and can grow us, Lord, so that we learn to love. And these things that we're praying now over ourselves, Lord God, I pray graciously, Lord, by your Spirit, that you enable us to live these lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Last thought before we close. I want to encourage you this morning, if you are not sure in your relationship with God, and you're not even sure that you'll even make it to heaven one day, I want to give you an opportunity now. I'd love to pray with you. If that's you, right there where you're seated, if you're not secure in your relationship with God and certain of where you're going to spend eternity, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that here this morning? Anybody? Thank you, ma'am. Once you put your raised your hand, you can put it down. Would you stand with us as we worship the Lord together? Let's all stand together.